This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on a Tuesday. We're going to be joined momentarily by NFL on CBS sideline reporter Evan Washburn, who's going to be doing the game on Sunday in Baltimore with Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. He'll be manning the sidelines. He did make it up to training camp this summer for the Bills. And we had him on the show, actually, at training camp.
That's
when
right.
We were out there at St. John Fisher. So it'll be good to get him back on, give us the update on the latest from the Ravens, who are pretty darn impressive out of the chute here. Yes, they had a second-half collapse against the Dolphins in Week 2.
Fourth quarter, half, yeah. They had two broken covers that cost them.
Right. And that's what Miami's relied on to get to a 3-0 start. Some big play, just a few big plays on offense, and then a defense that holds it down on the other end, although Baltimore ran it up on the Dolphins early in that game, sprinting out to a 28-7 lead, put 38 points on the Dolphins. And right now, Lamar Jackson is right at the top of the league. Josh Allen leads the league in passing yards, but if I remember what I saw yesterday, Lamar Jackson leads the league in passer rating. So Lamar with a 119 passer rating on the season. He also leads the league in touchdown passes with 10, and he's averaging 8.5 yards an attempt. That is a fat number.
Yeah.
And people thought the passing game was going to go in the tank after they traded away Marquise Hollywood Brown, but Rashad Bateman, their former first-round draft choice of a year ago, is looking good out of the gate, and they still rely heavily on their tight end Mark Andrews, who is the most productive tight end in football right now, even more so than Travis Kelce and some of the others.
Right. Yeah, Baltimore scoring some points. They put 24 up on the Jets in Week 1, okay, so he's getting out of the gate, and then they put 38 against Miami, and then 37 last week against the Patriots. They're hanging some numbers up.
Yeah, this is their tour through the AFC East. They've played each of their first three games against AFC East opponents, and they're going to wrap up their tour of the AFC East with the Bills here in Week 4. Kind of weird quirk in the schedule for them.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know.
They're 2-1.
They're 2-1, and they could be.
They're a whisker away from
3-0.
Yeah.
So
they just got J.K. Dobbins back in the lineup this past week, and Dobbins with a pitch count, if you will, because he's coming off a major knee injury from last year, 7 carries for 23 yards. They had Justice Hill as the other running back supplementing his effort. But we do have Evan with us now, so here is NFL on CBS sideline reporter Evan Washburn joining us. Haven't talked to you since training camp. How you doing, Evan?
I know that seems like ages ago, but yeah. I guess it was only, I don't know, what, 6-8 weeks ago. I'm doing well. Excited to be with you guys. Pumped for this game this weekend. This is a big one. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Right. My concern right off the bat, Evan, is the forecast for game day. We know that Hurricane Ian is making its way into the Gulf as we speak, and it is supposed to be moving up and eastward out to the eastern seaboard. And there are some early tracks that are saying it could be very wet and very windy on Sunday for Baltimore and Buffalo. What have you seen? Are they panicking? Is it like DEFCON 5 in Baltimore yet, or what are the meteorologists doing up down there?
Nothing yet. It's gorgeous today. I know that means nothing in terms of Sunday, but I think if conditions are brutal, that plays to Baltimore's hands. So I don't think they're going to complain about maybe some wind and some rain that maybe makes this a sloppier game and one that's played on the ground and not as much through the air. But let's be real, fellas. I was there for that division or wild card game when you guys had that Arctic freeze going and some winds. So
right.
This will be a cakewalk compared to that.
We're looking at one of the most fascinating stories of the offseason and now into the regular season is Lamar Jackson and his contract. Couldn't get one done with the Baltimore Ravens, and Lamar just said, hey, I'm going to play. I'm going to bet on myself. And he has gotten off to a smoking hot start. He's running for touchdowns, throwing for touchdowns. His passer rating is great. He's at the top five or six in the league in passing. Just, you know, Ravens are humming along, scoring 37 and 38 points a week. But the Ravens, to me, are letting him play, and they haven't gotten a contract done. They're not. It sounds like they're not going to work on it during the season. And the Ravens seem okay with just saying, well, you know, let the guy play highly motivated, and we'll reap the benefits for now.
Makes sense to me, Steve. I mean, I think the Ravens would have liked to have gotten a deal done, but it had to be a deal where they felt like they were getting what they wanted out of it. And conversely, obviously, Lamar wants the same, and they just were too far apart in that area. And they're getting, I think, the best version of Lamar Jackson we've seen. And that includes the 2019 year where he won NFL MVP. And that's not to say he's going to accomplish that goal or that award once again, but just the command that he has as a quarterback. And look, 2019 to me was about Lamar's ability and also the scheme that Greg Roman and that staff had built and how it just sort of it took the league by storm. Well, he's playing the position right now, albeit with his legs, but just as much with his arm. And he's much more accurate. He's dissecting defenses. John Harbaugh lent some words to that after the New England game where you know you're going to be tested mentally. And Lamar's been up to the task. So if you want to call it betting on himself through 3 weeks, he's winning the bet.
Talk to me, Evan, if you could, about Baltimore's offensive line. Ronnie Stanley yet to play this season, and it's been a little bit of a revolving door there. Juwan James plays in week one, tears his Achilles. He's out for the year. And then, I mean, they even had their rookie fourth-round pick over there a little bit last week, right? Daniel Faalele, the giant human being of like 380-something pounds. Who do you think it is going forward? Does Stanley have a chance, number one, Evan? And then number two, if it's not him, is it Patrick McCurry? Is it Faalele? Who is manning the blindside spot?
Well, look, the goal is to get Ronnie Stanley back out there. He's been dealing with a left ankle injury. This goes back now almost two seasons. And he came back for a game last year and then had a regression with that injury. He's been back out at practice. He's been working out all through training camp. He was one of many players that missed all of last season that they've really been careful kind of reintroducing into live action. J.K. Dobbins was one of those guys getting his first game action last week. So the goal is to have Ronnie Stanley as the left tackle. That's what they paid him all that money for and drafted him where they drafted him a few years ago. So that's option one at some point this season, they would hope. I think in the meantime, Patrick McCurry coming off an ankle injury in New England, the sense is, at least from what we heard after the game, that it's not a long-term injury. So he continues to possibly be the guy in waiting or the guy in that spot until Stanley's available. Juwan James suffered an Achilles, so he's out. And you mentioned it, the rookie steps in there. And guys, he's never played left tackle at any point in his football career. And he comes in and has to deal with guys like Matt Judon, and after a rough start, and Dietrich Wise did pretty well. So I think they're just kind of holding that spot as long as they can until Ronnie Stanley can step back in.
Right. What are the early returns on the defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald? I know he took over for Wink Martindale this year, and it's a different kind of animal now than we've seen in Baltimore for a long time.
Yeah, Steve, it's a mixed bag at this point. I think there's aspects of it, and there's so much belief in what Mike McGowan can do. I mean, he really came up in the system, in the organization as a defensive quality control assistant all the way up, and then obviously goes to Michigan to work with Jim and now comes back home, as they put it, to be the defensive coordinator. It's different than Wink's system of all-out blitz and constantly kind of just attacking quarterbacks in that way. But the concern has obviously been the back end. And look, I don't know if this is as much an indictment on scheme as it is just the personnel, because injuries were such a storyline for Baltimore a year ago, and they continue to be because of the guys, one, coming off of injury, and when are they going to be at full speed and really at their highest caliber. And then they've already started to lose some guys over the course of the first 3 weeks. And that back end was exposed in week two against Miami and had some moments even against New England, but they made the plays down the stretch. So I think it's still a wait and see, at least from the outside, Steve, when it comes to Mike McDonald's defense. But internally, they have the utmost confidence in what he's doing with that group.
Yeah, because it's curious. I mean, I know the defense was able to close the game out last week for them against the Patriots. But you look at, you know, some of the early numbers, and, you know, 7 sacks in 3 games is not terrible. It's also not elite. Where would you peg the development of their pass rush in this new scheme, you know, with Owe and Justin Houston being the primary players there?
And Chris, Justin Houston's dealing with a groin injury right now, so kind of fits with this constant. I mean, yeah. I know Buffalo's dealing with it themselves. Just the injuries continue to be the dominant storyline week in and week out. Look, I think if you were having a pass rush conversation with Baltimore at the end of this season or really next season, they're in a great spot. At least they feel like they are, because they've got Owe, Ajabi, who they drafted out of Michigan, who dropped because of that Achilles tear during a workout. And they feel like they got a first rounder in a later round. And then Tyus Bowser, who's been a consistent performer, not an A-list pass rusher, but a guy they've given some decent money to. I think he had 7 or 8 sacks a year ago. He's coming off an Achilles. So it sounds like a broken record here, but once guys are healthy, whether it's with current injuries or coming off a season enders a year ago, they feel like they're in a great spot. That doesn't help them Sunday against Buffalo, and it hasn't helped them necessarily in the first 3 weeks of the season. But that's kind of the story at that position. And they just signed, should mention, Jason Pierre-Paul, was a free agent. And look, I mean, he's one of the greatest stories as I can remember in recent memory, based off of what he's overcome, how he performed down in Tampa, big part of that Super Bowl run a few years ago. And this is how Eric DaCosta, Ozzie, John Harbaugh work. They'll grab guys and see what they can get out of them later in their career. And maybe JPP help stem the tide until guys like Tyus Bowser come back. Maybe they get a jobby later in the year.
One of the things also that has aided in Lamar Jackson becoming a little bit better of a thrower, the weapons on the outside. Rashad Bateman has really come on, I thought, and played pretty well in the last couple of games. But the guy that's kind of scary, if you're looking at this team, is DuVernay. He's got some wheels. They use him as a kick returner. I mean, he's got all kinds of athleticism, and I think the weapons on the outside have really made a difference for Lamar. Plus, there's no doubt, too, we talked about earlier, Lamar's a different guy these days.
He really is, and I think Devin DuVernay is a great example, Steve, of the improvement of Lamar as an accurate thrower, because Devin DuVernay is not a big guy. He's a burner, but the windows are tight. He'll get some separation, but Lamar's got to fit it in there, and he's done that. Look, Mark Andrews is still their best pass catcher at the tight end position and most consistent, but he's that big body guy with a massive catch radius. Devin DuVernay is not, but he's a great example of skill development. He's grown in this system. He's an all-pro returner that is now showing himself to be a legitimate number two wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. And the chemistry and trust that Lamar has in DuVernay, I think, has helped give this offense, to me, a surprising look, at least through the first 3 weeks, because the thought, guys, coming into this year, with now three tight ends. They bring in Isaiah Likely out of Coastal Carolina, Nick Boyle's back off an injury, that this is going to be, again, that three tight end system that we saw in 2019, where they just almost look like, you know, the Navy midshipmen running constant options, right, and really confusing defenses with the run game. I've seen it as more balanced. Yes, Lamar is running the ball when necessary. He's putting up those type of numbers, but it looks different because I think they just have so much trust in Lamar the passer, what Mark Andrews obviously brings, but now with Bateman coming on as a second-year player and Devin Duvernay as kind of that second or third option, it's a really a balanced group.
In the secondary, Evan, you've got two corners that are a little longer in the tooth coming off of major season-ending injuries. I don't want to say that they're over the hill or anything. Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey are the guys I'm talking about there. They've been victimized a little bit. I know they've had some young players at safety that have had to step in from time to time, Kyle Hamilton being one of them. Where would you assess the secondary play through three games, knowing this defense has given up some points the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's underperformed when you look at the numbers, and really the outlier is that fourth quarter against Miami.
Right.
And that was by all intents and purposes kind of a meltdown, and they acknowledged it. I mean, and part of it fell on a rookie in Kyle Hamilton. But I think when you look, Chris, at the personnel, I still think it's got a lot of A-listers. Marcus Williams, who I didn't know much about, the safety they signed in free agency from the Saints, has been arguably the best player defensively for the Ravens. And alongside Chuck Clark, who a lot of people don't know across the league, sort of casual fans, he's as brilliant and smart a safety and talented a safety as there is. So those two in the back end, I think, have provided stability. You mentioned Marcus Peters. He's coming off a serious injury. He looked to be back to form in a lot of ways against New England. And Marlon Humphrey, to me, and this is something I'm looking forward to diving into over the course of this week, as you kind of play that prediction game. Where's Marlon going to be deployed? Because he's paid like a top cover corner in this league, but to kind of use him in the slot a lot, I mean, he's a really physical corner. We know his ability to force fumbles. I mean, he's they call him Punch because he's just constantly punching the ball out. So does he match up with Diggs more when Diggs is inside? How do they deal with Gabe Davis? Because the glaring hole right now when they match up with teams like Buffalo or Miami is that if Marlon's inside and they've got Marcus on the outside, that second or however you want to view it, third corner, that's a spot where they haven't had somebody really grab it. They've got Brandon Stevens, who's a second-year player at SMU that played safety, is a former running back. They got Jalen Armour Davis from Alabama, a fourth-rounder. So guys that have shown potential, but when they're having to deal with Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill or this week maybe Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs or Isaiah McKenzie, those are the guys that have been exposed, along with Kyle Hamilton a couple times in that Dolphins game. So I that's a long way of saying – I still think it's the potential to be a really good secondary. They're still finding their way, and they do have some vulnerabilities at that sort of second outside corner, if you will.
Last one for me. Evan, you've been around. I mean, we're hitting the first month of the season. You've been working every week. You had the Steelers at the Patriots, hosting the Patriots. You had the Bengals this last week at the Jets. What are some of the surprising teams? I mean, because, you know, the Bengals – pounce come back after the AFC Championship last year, and they kind of stumble out of the gate. You had the Steelers trying to find their way. The Jets are trying to get better. What are some of the things you've seen in the first month of the season, the games you've covered?
Well, I think you mentioned it, Steve. The Bengals situation was probably the most interesting because what they looked like in week one was jarring because it was about as bad as you could play. But then they really should have won the game if they didn't lose their long snapper to a bicep injury. And then they couple that with the loss to Dallas and Cooper Rush. But now Cooper Rush is good, I don't know, after Monday night.
Right.
And then I think I don't want to say they had a full get right against the New York Jets, but it was sort of a like, okay, we can relax a little bit. We get the win. We look a little bit more like ourselves. So I don't think that the panic is there for the Bengals like it was maybe a week ago. But really, Steve, what stood out to me is just, and it's kind of what we said when we were there in Rochester, this AFC is going to be an absolute gauntlet. And you guys experienced it last week. Miami's for real. They're not going anywhere. And despite a loss to the Colts that was ugly, I don't think Kansas City's going anywhere. I still think Buffalo, if you have to sort of make a proclamation, is the one I would feel the best about. I think Baltimore is eager to prove a lot of people wrong and continue to play with a chip on their shoulder and say they're for real. And then there's the AFC West in Denver and the Chargers. I don't know. It's just I'm continually validated, I guess, whether it's the games we're covering or when I'm catching up Sunday night into Monday and then prepping for the next week, just how loaded this AFC is.
All right, Evan, thanks for the time. I'll see you down there on Sunday. I'm bringing my rain gear. 70% chance of rain, 67 degrees for the high is the forecast. I'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Evan.
Yeah, let's layer up. Great to be with you guys, and we'll see you in Baltimore.
All right, that's NFL on CBS sideline reporter Evan Washburn joining us here. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll get to some of your phone calls as we have our topic of discussion today. Which players did the Bills need back in the lineup the most on Sunday against the Ravens? Steve and I back in a second here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.